Copy, and we're having a little bleed over on the lead pump. If it's objectionable to you, let us know and we'll work on it some more.
Yeah, at the end of those 30 days, and actually there's nothing magic about 30 days, we can make it.
From the White House in the Office of the President of the United States, we present an address by Dwight D. Eisenhower. This is the farewell address for President Eisenhower, whose 8 years as chief executive come to an end at noon Friday. Mr. Eisenhower has chosen this time for his final speech. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
First, I should like to express my gratitude to the radio and television networks for the opportunities they have given me over the years to bring reports and messages to our nation. My special thanks go to them for the opportunity of addressing you this evening. 3 days from now, after half a century in the service of our country, I shall lay down the responsibilities of office as, in traditional and solemn ceremony, the authority of the presidency is vested in my successor. I wish the new president and all who will labor with him Godspeed. I pray that the coming years will be blessed with peace and prosperity for all.
Progress in human achievement, and to enhance liberty, dignity, and integrity among peoples and among nations. To strive for less would be unworthy of a free and religious people. Any failure, traceable to arrogance, or our lack of comprehension...
Okay, Wayne, and we were aware of that.
Okay. Unless you have any other questions, that's all we've got. We want to wish you a good flight, and we'll talk to you on the loop.
We face a hostile ideology, global in scope, atheistic in character, ruthless in purpose, and insidious in method. Unhappily, the danger is to be transitory sacrifices of crisis, but rather those which enable us to carry forward steadily, surely, and without complaint, the burdens of a prolonged and complex struggle with liberty, the state. Only thus shall we remain, despite every provocation, on our charted course toward permanent peace and human power. Crises there will continue.
Now, exactly.
A dramatic expansion in basic and applied research. These and many other possibilities. The need to maintain balance in and among national programs. Balance between the private and the public economy. Balance between the cost and hoped-for advantages. Balance between the clearly necessary and the comfortably desirable. Balance between our essential requirements as a nation and the duties imposed by the nation upon the individual. Balance between actions of the moment and the national welfare of the future. Good judgment seeks balance in progress. Lack of it eventually finds imbalance and frustration. The record of many decades stands as proof that our people, their government there, in the main, understood and have responded to them well. Our arms must be mighty, ready for instant action, so that no potential aggressor may be tempted to risk his own destruction. Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II.
Bring stuff on board, right? So,
I was just wanted to know if you're happy.
We can no longer risk emergency improvisation of national defense. We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions. Added to this, 3.5 million men and women are directly engaged in the defense establishment. We annually spend on military security alone more than the net income of all United States corporations. Now this conjunction of an immense military establishment and a large arms industry is huge in the American experience. The total influence, economic, political, even spiritual, is felt in every city, every state house, every
house. Would that be extended for a third year, or whether the company would not do that, and there would be an automatic extension of a year? The postponement of that decision was for 30 days, while we were all working on all of these other agreements, and while we were waiting for the trustee to render its opinion, which it has, and a lot of these things which were up in the air.
The acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals, so that security and liberty may prosper together.
The trustees approval within the 30-day period. But we think that within the next 30 days, there's no reason why all of this can't get done.
The technological revolution during recent decades. In this revolution, research has become central. It also becomes more formalized, complex, and costly. A steadily increasing share is conducted for... Today, the solitary inventor, tinkering in his shop, has been overshadowed by task forces of science in laboratories and testing fields. In the same fashion, a free university, historically the fountainhead of free ideas and scientific struggle, has experienced a revolution in the conduct of research. A government contract becomes virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity. For every old blackboard, there are now hundreds of new electronic computers. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite. It is the task of statesmanship to mold, to balance, and to integrate these and other forces. Plundering for our own ease and convenience the precious resources of tomorrow. We cannot mortgage the material assets of our grandchildren without risking the loss also of their political and spiritual heritage. We want democracy to survive for all generations to come, not to become the insolvent bank of tomorrow. America knows that this world of ours, ever growing smaller, must avoid becoming a community of dreadful fear and hate, and be instead a proud confederation of mutual trust and respect. Such a confederation must be one of equals. The weakest must come to the mountain table with the same. Armament with mutual honor and confidence is a continuing imperative. Together we must learn how to compose differences, not with arms, but with intellect and decent purpose.
Восемь, пять, три, ноль, четыре, восемь, пять, семь.
will reach the goal of peace with justice. May we be ever unswerving in devotion to principle, confident but humble with power, diligent in pursuit of a nation's great goal. That peoples of all faiths, all races, all nations may have their great human needs satisfied. That those now denied opportunity shall come to enjoy it to the full. That all who yearn for freedom may experience its spiritual blessings.
Hello, Mr.
Disease and ignorance will be made disappear from the earth. And that in the goodness of time, all peoples will come to live together in a peace guaranteed by the binding force of mutual respect and love.
We have presented the farewell address by the President of the United States, Dwight D. Eisenhower, who spoke this evening from his office in the White House.
I talked to Wayne already. Wayne says it's an accounting matter. He doesn't know.